At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Really well.
I feel like what TBH, I would have wanted, I think, to have been run the clip.
Run the
but
clip.
There was one clip that I feel like could have really resolved a lot of those tensions.
Like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Do we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. And you're watching Black My Reality.
Black My Baddies.
And those who love us.
Hi, baddies. It's your HBIC here, head bisexual in charge, Nicole. I just wanted to do a editor's note that this is a recut of my interview with Maximo and Ash. Had to take down the first iteration of this video. So sorry about that. If you are quick to watch, you got to see a different version, which good for you. But this is going to be the final cut. Just wanted to clarify that. And here's my interview with Maximo and Ash about Couples to Thruple.
By now, we have all seen the episode leading up to the final decisions and then the final decisions. So this part, this is what we're going to be talking about. There was a lot of energy once that the singles had to be separated from their original couples. And that energy between you guys and Ramon and Ashmal was mostly Ramon and Ashmal very focused on saying that everything you guys got going on was fraud, fakery, all of that.
Ooh.
And you do address it at the dinner table, but what's your thoughts watching it back?
Yeah, I think watching it back, I mean, first of all, just grateful to have been in that experience and to have been able to, like, meet all those people and recognizing how intense our emotions were when we're in that resort.
Yeah.
And all we're doing is polyamory, couple to thruple, and us coming in a little later. I can see everyone's perspective and the tensions of how, like, we kind of came in and, you know, we are a bit of a threat, essentially, because we weren't expecting this to happen. And then them getting really close with Jonathan, us also wanting to do what was best for us and kind of like really supporting our journey in polyamory and wanting to explore that further. And feeling Ramon and Ashmal's like tensions with us and being pointed at us. I think by that point at the table, I said it myself. I was like, well, if you want a reaction, I'm going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm proud of myself because I kept it classy. I feel like I did it in the extravaganza way. And so, yeah, I feel like I shared how I felt. But then the next day, it was nice, like, looking back and realizing, like, what had started kind of, like, the downfall or the insecurities within our idea with Becca. And it really, that was the seed that was planted, was in that moment when Ramon and Ashmal shared that with us, that they didn't think we were genuine. And then we started to really like, you know, who is the one who's been running around the house? How does everybody know these things? And like, we haven't even told anybody these things. So, you know, the way the word spreads, it's like telephone. It's something originally, but then by the time it gets to the last person, it might be construed and dramatized and a little more of a gag. Just so it's like tea, you know?
Yeah. In the end, are you actually a little thankful that Ashmal said something about what Becca was saying, or you're still a little like they were very messy for saying anything at all?
I feel like the way that it may have been brought up, a little messy, but it was also, to your point, yeah, I think that actually was the seed we really needed to start to think about our throuple with Becca, where we really are at. And we did hear many different things that were new to us. And so that really brought up our own insecurities. And maybe, because at that point, before that dinner, it did not cross our minds that maybe Becca could be one that is saying something completely different than when she's with us. Like, that just did not cross our minds. So at that point, we're like, okay, maybe we're being a little bit naive in the sense, like, we're really excited about this experience. We're really excited to keep leaning in. We want to keep trying.
Our favorite phrase.
Yeah, and it was so true, but I feel like that kind of blindsided us in some ways just to be a bit more thoughtful about our decision. So honestly, maybe thanks Oshmal.
Yeah, thank you, Oshmal and Ramon. Because legitimately, the day before, like, Becca had to leave, all the singles had to leave, we were so connected. Like, we had really squashed what was going on between us. Becca was telling us how she wanted to put more effort into the throuple and, like, really showing up for us rather than, like, prioritizing, like, hanging around the house with other people. And so we had really gotten to, like, address things that made us uncomfortable about each other and get on the same page about our perspectives, to the point where we're even dreaming about, like, so, like, are you going to, like, fly to New York? And, like, are we going to come to Canada, meet your mom, make carrot bacon? Like, it was really, we had finally got to this, like, really nice point. Yeah. And so when Oshmal and Ramon said that, the next day we woke up heading to the ceremony, we were going to step forward, like, 100% genuinely. It was, I think, an hour before, or like 30 minutes before. We had even told the producers that we're going to step forward. But then when we got there, we were like, so we changed our decision. We had a little too much time to think, and we're not going to step forward. And Ash was the one that kind of, like, really brought it back up in perspective and was like, babe, I just don't think, like, things are adding up right now, you know?
You know when you have that, like, gut feeling after, like, you have a bit more time and clarity and things settle down, you know, Becca not being with us that night, it started to just kind of make me a little sick in some ways. I actually started spotting a little bit. It wasn't time for that. And I just felt like there's something that my body is telling me. And without knowing what that could be like, I just expressed to Maxie right beforehand, things just don't feel right. And I feel like with where our relationship is at, maybe this person, Becca, might not be the one to really experience our first real throuple with. It may actually create more challenges for our relationship.
Yeah. Because not only was it, like, I mean, the long distance in a sense.
Right.
But also, like, just the idea of what do we really know about this person? Are we getting... Which side of Becca are we getting? I kind of said it in the show. And it's like, when Oshmal and Ramon brought that up, it really started to show, like, oh, wait, it sounds like she's not talking about this relationship and sticking up for it the way that we kind of are, you know?
Yeah. Did you get, like, more specific details of, like, what she was saying that was, like, the other side to Becca?
No. I didn't know. We didn't know anything until we saw the show.
Okay.
When we
saw
the show.
Saw it. Yeah.
Gagged. Gooped and gagged. Like, literally, Ash and I are on the...
We're like
looking at each other. We're like, so it was Becca? Like...
And then I'm like, okay, the gut does not lie.
We had no idea. And just to give you a little more context, you know, that night, it's so funny too, because as she's walking in, I'm like, speak of the devil. Like, what the fuck is going on, bitch? Like, what is the gossip?
Yeah, I remember that. And she was
just very vague and like, well, you know, I don't want to put words in people's mouths. And we're like, but just tell me what they're saying. Then to even find out, like, no, it was actually, you're the one, like, going around saying everything. And then after that, me sharing with her that, you know, I'm actually kind of nervous about, like, going tomorrow to breakfast, knowing that we're about to be confronted. And I asked her.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I was like, can I get your support? Like, can you like sit by me at the table? Can you be there for me? And that was the first like moment where that kind of like insecurity came up, because she didn't. And that kind of hurt. Like, she went and actually sat by like the boys, and then it was like me and Ash were by ourselves. So that was a little odd for us. I mean, I understand we're all on our own journey, and like, you know, you have this closer connection with them maybe because you've been here for a while. Those are like your besties. But I felt a little let down because I was vulnerable and asked Becca like to be there for me and for us, so I could feel a little more secure. But I have my rock right here, so I was okay.
Although now seeing it, however, with Becca and where she was at, it does make a lot of sense, though, kind of her own decisions of like taking space from us a bit and also finding her own comfort and where she needs comfort. Mm-hmm. She was friends with a lot of them in the house much longer than we were. She was there since day one and we were not. So I do understand, though, when it comes to like very emotionally intense moments, like, she may do things that we don't understand when it comes to like a relationship dynamic, but she probably was in a very also worried, insecure place.
That's true. And that's only what we know from watching the show. Cause
right.
I mean, now we know that we've been on reality TV. There's a lot that's okay. Not in there, girl.
Let's get it.
But like, you know, with what we did see, we can gather this information, but I also have no idea what Becca's full experience was,
yeah,
or what the boys' full experience was, what other conversations were had that aren't on screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all we have is our experience and the way that we got to know everybody and interact with everybody, and coming in later, being like somewhat of a threat. That's kind of, I think, what caused all the tension, essentially.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. They knew what they were doing.
I'm kind of good at this.
Yes. So you guys, as you said, no one stepped forward. You talked about Becca fooling you because she made you feel like she was going to. And she said that she felt manipulated and betrayed. So is there any more exchanging of words that we didn't get to see in the episode from that like intense decision moment?
In the decision moment, I feel like they pretty much like they did really well.
I feel like what TBH, I would have wanted, I think, to have been run the clip. There was one that I feel like could have really resolved a lot of those tensions. And I think it was when we actually were at a mixer and we were pursuing Jonathan and sharing that we were interested in him. Mm-hmm. And in that same conversation, we actually did tell Jonathan, like, let us, once we have our decision, let us tell Becca as a throuple.
Yeah.
Not, don't tell Becca, period. Right.
We didn't tell him not to tell Becca. We just wanted to be the one to share it. And even then, like, us being in that moment and coming out to Jonathan and kind of like pursuing them and like putting our cards out on the table, we still didn't know like what we wanted. We're still juggling like, whoa, like we're gagging at the fact that polyamory is working for both of us and that we're actually, I'm more comfortable seeing you intimate and seeing you flirt with somebody, and it almost was like rekindling like our love, and like seeing
Maggie
her like
flirt,
seeing her like fall for somebody and her watching me fall for somebody, like it brings like a level of giddiness and like genuine compersion. I mean, we've known that word forever, but like I've never felt it like that. Like that's true compersion, is when you and your partner are with someone else together and you have that trust, but at the same time you're creating space and you're seeing and also being seen. Like it was just, we were just gagging at how effortless it kind of was, because we were so afraid to push our relationship in this way.
I feel like we also found a very beautiful part of polyamory with this experience, because we also were speaking with Becca with this decision of like us wanting to pursue and explore more experiences with Jonathan. that Becca is also now supporting this and saying and joking with us, like, hey, we could be a quadruple. And
yeah.
Obviously, that's not the format of the show.
Yeah.
But it's also like she is blessing us in a way to further explore polyamory with different types of dynamics and people. Mm-hmm. And that I feel like is so beautiful, not just showing like us as a couple, but with the singles, like there's this camaraderie of like we're getting this polyamory thing and we're all kind of learning together, but we're also mm-hmm. supporting each other to do it in our own ways. And I feel like that could have been really great to like show how we were all very much like trying to make it work for the best experience for all of us. It was just very much format driven.
Yeah. Because
makes sense.
It's couple to throuple, not couple to throuple, then quadruple.
Not couple to molecule.
Right. And so, but honestly, we learned a lot from Becca in just that experience.
Yeah.
She opened up our eyes and mind to
so sweet.
A side of polyamory beyond thrupledom because mm-hmm. when we had originally expressed you know like oh like that would be a fab if we could all be in a quadruple but it's not the format of the show to see Jonathan his reservations wasn't about Ashma and Rahman, his reservations mm-hmm. was about Becca, and I thought that was honestly so sweet about like how like mm-hmm. he was like no I'm gonna like look out for my girl because like we didn't even really know him at that point like we were mm-hmm. just putting ourselves out there. But then Jonathan needed Becca's blessing to step forward, and Becca, I wish they included this because it was just such a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Becca's like mouthing across the water to Jonathan, like step down, like it's okay, because Becca had been talking to us and mm-hmm. knew that like we wanted to try things with Jonathan because one, we had found that polyamory was so great, but we're like, are we just on this high because like we're now polyamorous, or are we on this high because we're with Becca and she's just the one, right? Mm. So we wanted to experience kind of like other situations of polyamory and other people, because at the end of the day, like I feel like we were in this experiment to experiment. And through this experiment, we found that we are actually polyamorous. Mm-hmm. Now, who is our perfect third? As you see, we're still searching.
Right.
How's that going?
It's been actually very beautiful. I feel like with Maxie and me, we've had a really great opportunity to also start like kind of producing different play parties in the community and bring in a lot of beautiful identities that may not feel safe or comfortable enough with others of those identities to explore this intimate aspect of ourselves, our bodies. And healing and all of that that comes with it. And I feel like that community and who we surround ourselves with has been very polyamorous in that sense. And we've found so many like-minded people in that way. And it brings us back a lot to like how much we've grown from just even considering maybe this is our lifestyle to now really seeing a community being grown from it. And with such
and
beautiful intentions.
You're the one like producing it and growing it, which is so amazing. Like I'm so proud of them because they like literally created a whole play party, but not just a play party. It's a play party for all kinds of queer people to come together because play parties are usually very segregated. Gay party, lesbian party, like, you know, swingers party.
Mm-hmm. But even the fact that it's very like BIPOC focused and it's creating this space for a lot of people who bring trauma with them in these types of environments. And I feel like that alone, I don't know, I'm just still like reeling from the first event, but now we're doing it bi-monthly. We're going to maybe expand it to LA. And the organization that's supporting me with the blueprint for it has been so good. Susia,
they're incredible.
Very like one of the most, I think, healthy kind of like nonprofit kind of social type of work organization that I have been involved with. And their whole thing is, we just want to create that support for you to do your thing, the spaces you're creating, the experiences that you're providing to so many people. Like, we just want to know how we can keep doing that for you. And I feel like for us, that has allowed us to be a lot more comfortable and a lot more proud to like really just show everyone who we are still.
Uh-huh. And their intention is so pure, like, and it's very much to like, what our intention was in our relationship when we first started dating. It's all about decolonizing sex and race and gender. And like, it's the kind of thing where you come, there's a mixer, and then there's a consent speech where we talk about everything and like the respect in the space and why we're here and the privilege that we have to be here to
even
then
have this space.
yeah, to then be able to play. And so I'm really proud of you for like really like creating that space, because I'm here helping. But yeah. Ever since I met Ash, that was one of the first dreams that they had. They told me, they're like, I really want to like produce like my own play party someday. And a far out like idea, but to now like you finally did it, it's like so sick. And the response, the people felt the love.
But yeah, like, you know, there's some cuties there where we're like kind of feeling like we're back on Couple to Thruple. We're like flirting with them. We're like, oh, like, what are you into? And then Maxie and I are just like, wow, we've done this. Like, we like this. Yeah. And we've been really exploring the community. But when it comes to that thruple, still searching. And I feel like that is naturally just going to be I don't know. I feel like thruple is great, but maybe polycule vibe is kind of where we're feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Little did we know a thruple is like the hardest kind of dynamic in polyamory.
Yeah.
So, you know, to find someone that like aligns with both of us. And I think initially in the show, I had this idea of a thruple being like equal love all around. And through by the end of the show, I started to understand like, oh no, we all have different connections. We all have different ways that we connect with each other. A thruple can still function even if we're not all like tight, tight, tight. But like there's a reason that like we are connected in different ways. It's kind of like the beauty of polyamory is like, it's not your responsibility to take care of everything that I need. That's a lot to put on somebody.
Yeah.
So to be able to lean on other people and get energy from other people is like so beautiful.
I feel like you even said it when we were with Becca actually in the house, where there was a time when it was harder for Maximo to emotionally connect with Becca, but seeing that Becca and I were very much emotionally connecting, we're kicking. Yeah. Maxie did say like, you know, I can actually see like outside of this environment, how like y'all could still have that relationship. It's not about equalness. And I can still find that compersion of how much Becca makes you so giddy and like she gets you and da 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 da.
Yeah, like I don't want to take away those feelings from you. I'm like, it was so cute to see Ash giddy about Becca and like.
Are you a dog?
I honestly saw more of that. Like,
me too.
Enough.
Yeah. I think that four thruples to follow on TV, like that, there's a lot going on there, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm surprised with how beautiful I feel like the edit came out with so much that happened, because we know how much happened there. They had to condense. And I still love the way it came out in the edit and the story. But yeah, like there is. There's a lot more going on.
I'm curious also since you've seen it, you weren't there, like what else would you have wanted to see more of?
I think, I always think about like the single people and just wanting to learn more of them and get a little bit of their story, even if they end up going back to wherever they're staying. Yeah. I feel like there's more conversations. There's just like, everyone, and I get it, storytelling wise, everyone's story is kind of deduced to whatever their problem is in a way. But I think more of like, what's working, what they're actually clicking on, because for Dylan, Lauren, and Jess, it's like, okay, they have some reservations about physical intimacy, but I'm like, they must be so on the same wave when it comes to like working out and stuff. Like if it seems a little boring, I want to see them all work out together and just like
have. And they did.
I bet they did.
Every day.
Once.
And let me tell, like they all, like they're all like the same person almost, and not personality wise, but in like what they value, like their core values, how much they eat, how much they prioritize.
12 boiled eggs in the morning.
Literally. Like, we would go there and Dylan and Lauren have their piles of boiled eggs that they're peeling. And we're just like,
I'm not doing enough protein.
I need more protein. I wish they showed also connection more with them,
too. I loved Dylan, how, like, gender-affirming Dylan was with me on the show, being like, oh, I always see Ash at the pantry getting their protein gains. And I'm like, Dylan's telling me I need to have like 110 grams a day. Yeah. And I'm like, Maxie, we got to start doing bench presses.
Yeah, we were like, we actually got really close to like Lauren and Dylan and even Brittany and Sean, even amidst that Darian like drama situation.
That was closer, actually.
Yeah. And I mean, we were just in LA with them. We stayed at their house. They're the best. I mean, I love Britt and Sean. Yeah. From the moment we got there, we're like, these are our people.
We knew.
But now it's amazing. You know, we had the finale watch party in LA and unfortunately, you know, Peacock didn't have budget.
Well, we were like, you know, we're on a budget. And then they're like, we're on a budget. So we're like, okay, we can't go. Because New York cost of living is ridiculous. Yeah. And they gave us only like a couple weeks notice. So those flights are not that cute.
Yeah. And girl, we're on reality TV. It's not like we're like famous.
Right.
Like
we don't need to act like... But because of that, it was actually beautiful. And like, I am so grateful. Sean and Brittany were like, well, no, we want you there. We're going to make this happen. And they actually flew us out.
Yeah.
And that
the
is
best.
Crazy. Like that's crazy.
We stayed with them, got to know their dogs. Like, had the best time.
Yeah. Now, what is the situation like post-season with Ramon and Ashmal?
Honestly? A lot got ironed out at that little finale watch party. We're all cool. Okay. Like, it was nice to see everybody. Actually, so Brittany, you know, Brittany loves her drama hat. And so when they told us that we were coming, they were like, but we're keeping it a complete secret until we're there. And so no one knew that we were coming. So it gave Garden of Eden part two. So I think
one more time.
Just one more time. We had to get y'all. But it was actually really nice. You know, me and Ramon had a great conversation. We got on the same page, like, post the show coming out. And, like, just recognizing our differences, but also being like, but at the end of the day, like, you know, it's all love here. So we're just, like, we're just happy that we were able to be in that experience. And if it wasn't for those tensions and if it wasn't for these situations that happened, like, it would have been – even more artificial than it already was, you know, because like the real world is full of other people. The real world, you're gonna have to navigate. What does this look like if somebody else is pursuing your throuple or you're interested in this person? Like, there's no rules in the real world.
Right.
So I think I appreciate everything from the experience and like how much it helped us grow and gave us like a real insight to what polyamory could look like in the real world. And I'm also really proud of us for how we held ourselves and like how we spoke and like seeing the Kiki, seeing our love on screen.
I think that's been the most like the joy that we get now post show has truly been hearing from others who are watching that our love, seeing it has been inspiring for them to get to know who they are more.
Yeah.
And that I feel like this is so much bigger than us, our cast. Like this show is creating conversations within people and with their partners. And I feel like to even hear comments about how beautiful it is for a queer man to show so much love to their girlfriend and be so confident and comfortable in their identities, that made me just like, people need to see that. People need to see how comfortable like queer people with a penis are and can also be with someone of the opposite sex. And like, that's still love. And I'm like, that is what makes all of this so worth it. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah, I really like, I wish I had that representation growing up because maybe it wouldn't have taken me to like 21 to come out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But because of growing up, I had this idea by society that bi-ness is not real, right? Mm-hmm. So if you come out, well, then you're actually not still into girls. So you only
that's
like guys.
Erasure.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, and I dated women my whole life growing up. I had girlfriends. And then when I came out, I started to lean more into my intimacy with men. And I used to not think that I could be intimate with a man. I was like, I used to say bisexual, but heteroromantic. But really, I was just uncomfortable and like, judging myself and judging the idea of like actually being with a man and having feelings for a man. So it took a lot of work to like deconstruct that like brainwash from the world, you know?
Yeah.
Maxie, you're going to be doing just that as I transition. Man.
Yeah. Ash is getting ready to freeze their eggs and start tea.
Finally got the healthcare figured out after leaving corporate. I was very blessed and privileged in the corporate world, but back on the train of gender affirming healthcare.
Yay!
Congrats!
That's so cool.
You talk about any of that when you were filming the show, or was this more of the?
The real tea that I did not think I would ever really actually answer or share. All the clips where I get a little teary-eyed or I'm crying a little bit, which I don't know if you picked up or not, but there were a couple where it's like a little red-eyed. So it's just so funny because all of those moments came from a conversation when I was breaking down with Maxie out of nowhere. Like, I don't know what triggered it. I'm sure it's everything triggered it. But I was just crying about like my transness coming up and how confusing that was in this environment and not having anyone to actually get it. Like no one could understand what I was going through. So me having to explain any of that was really hard. But that moment was when I really cried. And Maxie was holding me saying like, you know, you're doing great. You're showing up perfectly, blah, blah, blah. But that was why I was crying.
Yeah, you were battling the idea of like, and I feel like I have a lot of trans friends and brothers and sisters who have shared this, but it's this question of, am I trans enough to say I'm trans? Like, am I trans? Am I allowed to say I'm trans if I look like this? You know, like, if I haven't started tea yet or if I haven't done that, like, am I allowed to say that I'm trans?
Am I still trans?
And what I've come, like, this is, like, my perception of transness is, like, trans is transgender. Trans is not transitioning. And a lot of people, when they say trans, they're like, you can't be trans if you're not transitioning. It's like, no, transness is the feeling of not identifying with the gender that you were assigned at birth.
Yeah.
That alone is transness. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to act on that to be trans.
Which is what really made me more comfortable to just own it in a way of like, hopefully for other people who think you have to transition to be validated about your transness. No, that's honestly why I feel like it's important for me to just express my journey, even though I'm still figuring it out, at least talking about how I'm figuring it out. Cause that was the hardest thing, was thinking that I was not valid in that way. But actually there was a beautiful part with Junior, our very first night that never made it on the show, where, you know, we're talking about our identities, and I did say at that point, like, I just wanted to be more comfortable with, like, my transness. I was like, I'm trans, non-binary, and we're, like, there was a moment we're changing, so obviously, like, we're seeing that I don't have a penis.
No, it was after the next morning after we had, like, the hot makeout and the shower.
I'm like,
oh,
I have to take my birth control.
Yeah.
And Junior's like,
why do you need to take that?
I was like, because I don't want to get, like, acne, pregnant, hormones, you know. And he was like, oh, but I thought you were trans. And I was like, oh, well, for me, it's more about, like, and so we explained this aspect of transness. And for Junior to totally be like, oh, I get that. Like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Was the first time for me to have that experience, saying that out loud, explaining it myself, because I'm now proud of it. And then to have someone affirm me, that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Junior, times a thousand.
Yeah, because he thought.
Yeah, thank
he
you.
He thought they were.
Yeah, male to female. Right
now, yeah.
Rather than female to male.
Yeah.
And so that was a cute moment affirming. To like clear up. Yeah. That was really affirming. Yeah.
Oh, wish I saw it, but I'm glad we were able to share that story. Because, it's a whole other part of like. Yeah, giving validity, again, another great plus to having both of you on. Mm-hmm. And just hopefully we'll have more trans NBs and if we get a second season, because it's so important.
I hope so.
Season
that would
two,
be incredible.
And then it's like you have one season of us in a very different presentation of femininity, masculinity. Season two. Wait.
Right.
That would be
But I'm just like happy that like this is now opening the door for more programs. Like I'm already hearing about like other poly shows that are being made. Who is
hopefully
the one that meme
education.
Who does like Hot House? Who's the one who does Hot House? She's like a queer icon. Like she was like looking for like the next queer icon. She's the one who says, "Those are old maiden shoes," and she was like, "I'm not using that vernacular." Anyway, she's doing a pop show now. Whoever's watching, someone out there knows who I'm talking about.
Wait, are you talking about Tiffany Pollard right now?
Yes, Tiffany Pollard.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. Okay,
she's making a Polly show.
She is.
So
very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you talked to Jonathan at all?
Yeah, we have. We hosted a watch party here in New York for episode 7 to 9. So we got to see them that night. Mm-hmm. And met their brother. Their brother's so cute and so sweet.
So cute.
Yeah, it was really nice to like reconnect. And man, still dreamy Jonathan. Still dreamy.
Any hope of maybe circling that block again?
I feel like.
I mean, in the back of my mind.
It's more like on their, I think, okay. TBing, I feel like it just might be waiting to see where Jonathan is at after processing a lot more things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. That'd be great, but like, we're here.
We know where we're at.
Call us.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's the last of my questions for you guys. Where can everyone follow you? Ash, please plug your parties.
Yes.
I would love to. You have to, for now, just stay tuned to Instagram, at @eatmyashley.
Mm-hmm.
And
then mine is Maximo Extravaganza, no E in Extravaganza. Mm-hmm. And we actually are getting ready to start our YouTube channel. So if you want to follow us on YouTube, you can search up Maximo and Ashley and you'll see us.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Looking forward to seeing what you guys do next.
Yeah.
Likewise.
And congratulations on creating this space.
Yeah.
So like, this is so important for like not only representation, but to let's talk about it.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that.
Absolutely. And I'm like also so happy that more people are finding me through this show. I literally right before this just got an email from a viewer that was like, "Oh, I have everybody's signs from couple to thruple. Here you go." And I'm just like,
that's awesome.
What?
Okay. Yes. Oh, when one of us wins, we all win. So we're going to do this all together.
Yeah.
But it's so beautiful to like collaborate in this way with you. I mean, thank you for having us and sharing this space with us.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Until next time. Bye.
Till next time.
Bye, Nicole.